Hello there, thanks for listening to Seek the Truth, I really appreciate it. I'd like to talk to you today about a character who is really, really of outstanding importance in the history of Christianity. I think the last time I spoke, we thought about a man called Charles T. Studd, who was a famous cricketer who became a Christian, and that was quite an amazing thing to see how someone of such a great talent and skill valued following Jesus Christ and eternal life of greater value than anything this world could offer. Time before that, I think we thought about Mary Jones and her Bible and how the Bible is of such great importance. Seek the Truth's aim is to bring to people the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to get people to think outside the box, to stop thinking about life just as it is and to see the realities of life. I suppose in recent days we've been thinking about the rioting that's been going on across the UK, a terrible thing, and I've been really challenged by this. What is it that drives people to that? The emptiness of life. Life with all its pointlessness, and that you would be driven to the point where you think it's your right to steal and to take things from people. Well, I want to talk to you about a man who discovered something of great importance in life, and yet he didn't think it was anything particularly great. In fact, some people would have questioned him about his great passion and his dedication for taking the message of the Bible across the seas. He spent a lot of time in other countries, in India, and he would often say to people that he was an ordinary man, lacking in brilliance or even giftedness, but he simply said, "I can plod." I think he was probably being rather modest, because one of his great things was that he didn't let obstacles discourage him or cause him to swerve from what he understood God's will to be for his life. He persisted. I wonder if you've got a purpose in life. I wonder if you really have a grasp on what life is about and what's the most important thing. You'll give up everything for it. Somehow I think we've kind of become so swamped by how we just get through life that we've missed the point of living. One of the great overviews of his life would indicate that he gave the whole or part of the Bible translations into 34 different languages to India's many varied people. And he never ever came back to the UK for a rest, which is quite sad really, from the point of view of his relatives and his friends. But so dedicated was he to the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ that he felt his call was to be out there. Is there anything in your life that you're really dedicated to? And can I ask you the question, is it of lasting value? Will it stand the test? Or is it just something that seems important, but the more you look at it, the more you realise it really has very limited value in itself? Consider this story for a moment or two. William's father was a weaver, and they lived in a little cottage in an English village. And this is about 200 years ago. And his father moved to a new village, and he was to be the new teacher. And William and his two sisters were so excited to get there. They liked the new house so much better than the other place where they'd lived, and they loved being in the countryside. And William, well, he began to get a real interest in birds and bugs and animals and plants, and everyone in the village would come to him and ask him about them. He was a kind of determined kind of character. He wanted to get up in a tree one day to get a nest for his collection, and he fell out of the tree the first time and hurt himself badly. He had to be in bed for days. As soon as he was well again, he climbed right back up the tree to get the nest. And his mother, she said, "Will, you don't mean to say you've been climbing that tree again?" He said, "I couldn't help it, Mum. I really couldn't. If I begin a thing, I must finish it." That was to be a real theme in this young man's life. If he started a thing, he was going to finish it. He was going to become called to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's going to take the most amazing message that would save people from hell, give them purpose in life, make them right with their Creator, and he was going to get convicted that this was what he had to do. But before that, he had to learn about it himself. See, we're not born Christians. We might be born into families where there are Christians. We might be born into homes where Christ is loved and the Bible is read. But William, he went off to learn the trade of being a shoe repairer or a cobbler. And he worked hard, and sometimes he cheated, and he shouldn't. And Mr. Nichols sent him an errand one day. And William went and got what he had to do. And, well, he paid for the thing with a kind of counterfeit coin that he remembered he had. Well, he got caught out. And he was in trouble because of that. And he was thought he was going to be sent home and he couldn't do the job anymore. But, well, William looked so ashamed, bowed his head, realised it was wrong to cheat his master and to lie to him. that the master forgave him and allowed him to stay. And that made an impression on William about forgiveness. William came to learn that God was a God who forgave people. He forgave people. God was a God who loved people and gave his son to die for them upon the cross. Not because God ignored sin, but because God provided for it, sent his son to make the payment, to serve the sentence, to pay the price. And William became a Christian. He used to sit in his room and read a book called Captain Cook's Voyages. He loved to look at faraway countries. He would have a map on his wall and he'd mark in all the wall, on the map on the wall, he'd mark the places that as far as he knew no one had ever taken the message of the gospel. And Captain Cook said no one would go to these countries unless they could get rich. But William thought something different. He thought there was a message that he could take that didn't make him rich but blessed the people that he went to meet. If you're interested and you've got the time, you could buy the biography of William Carey. You'd see that he went to India and he loved the people and he showed them kindness and he worked for their good and he told them about a God who loved them and he bore the burden of telling people that there was a God who could forgive their sins and give them everlasting life. And it took years before people believed. Took years before anybody listened to him or responded to the gospel. Some days William saw the abuse that people received as a result of their own religion. Women burned alive, children beaten, things that were terrible. And he longed that these people would have new life and liberty and peace with God. And William spent so many years until he saw some dear souls come to the Lord Jesus. A man called Krishna Pal became a Christian. And he began to tell other people about the Lord Jesus. Others became Christians, and William spent his time going from village to village, telling people about the Lord Jesus. One of the great works that William did was get the Bible into the language of the people. But another thing he did was he started schools and colleges, and he began to teach people so they could read the Bible for themselves. And other workers came and joined him. And Carey stayed in that country all his life, until he was an old, old man. Shortly before William Carey went to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus, a young missionary named Alexander Duff came to visit him. They had a pleasant time talking about what it used to be like in India, how William had preached, taught and translated. When Duff saw that William was getting tired, he said goodbye and started to leave. But as he was leaving, he heard Carey call him in a weak voice. Mr. Duff turned round to see what Mr. Carey wanted. Mr. Duff, he said, you have been speaking about Mr. Carey. When I am gone, say nothing about Mr. Carey. Speak about Mr. Carey's Saviour. That was the type of man he was. He wanted people to know about the Lord Jesus. He wanted people to know God. He wasn't promoting himself. I wonder today, do you know God? Do you know your sins forgiven? Do you know the eternal joy of salvation? I trust you do. Please listen to more of the recordings or go on to the blog, findingthemissingpiece.blogspot.com, or contact us through the website. We really would love you to do that, and we trust that God would richly bless you. Thank you for listening.